I want you to imagine a world where you have a ton of business-related tasks, but never enough hours in the day to get it all done. For many of you, there was absolutely no need to imagine because guess what? This is your day today. On this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to talk about how to get more things done without adding hours to your workday. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so in this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast, we're going to be talking about how to get more things done without adding hours to the workday. Before we begin, I want to let you know that this week's episode is brought to you by our brand spanking new prospecting download. And you can learn more about it. We're going to actually be talking about it later, but if you're impatient like I am, and I'm very impatient, you can visit right now. Just make sure you're not in the car. Pull over, for God's sakes. Visit yoursalesplaybook.com/bundle, B-U-N-D-L-E. So let's get down to business here, because I really don't like to spend a lot of time beating around the bush. It might be the New York in me, but man, I like to get right down to it. 48 seconds into the podcast, we're getting down to business. So the deal is this, is that many times when we try to get our arms around this crazy mess that we call our business, and we're just trying to get things done, and perhaps you've experienced what I have experienced at times, which is this feeling that no matter how hard I work, at the end of the day, I feel like there was so much that I left on the table, so much more that I really needed to get done, but I didn't get it done, right? That's kind of a lousy feeling. So a lot of the time, though, what people do, and even if they do it reluctantly, like I did back in the day, is we'll reach for something obvious, like, well, you know what? I'm going to work some more hours. I'm going to get up earlier and start my business day earlier. I'm going to work later or whatever. And I mean, unless you are a slacker and your workday is only maybe 2 or 3 hours a day, I don't really think that's a great way to go. And if you've been listening to me for a while, you know that I'm not a fan at all of this whole, they refer to it as hustle porn. And what this is, it's these people that feel this need to just always be moving and quote-unquote hustling to the point that they have no life outside of work. Seriously, you'll see them, they're posting things like, you know, I get my workday going at 4:30, and then somebody's trying to outdo that person, says, well, I get my workday going at 3:30, and then of course somebody else will chime in, well, I don't even sleep, I mean, I just have a catheter hooked up, so I don't even have to get up to take a leak. That's how dedicated I am to my job. But I'm exaggerating there, but only slightly, because I think some of them do use a catheter. I think they're that effed up. But seriously, it's You can't always look to add more hours into the workday. I do believe there are times and places where that's appropriate, and even seasons throughout the year where, okay, you want to pick up the pace a little bit. I get it. Maybe right before Christmas time, where business is going to fall off a cliff for the next month anyway. You're going to have all that time to catch up with the family. Okay, run a little harder leading up to it. But as a solution, not a fan. So what can we do about this without adding a lot of hours to the workday? Now, there are several things that we can do. Today, I only want to focus on one. And what's interesting about the thing we're going to talk about today is that if you've been listening to me for a while, you're no stranger to this. You've heard me probably mention this one almost as many times as you've heard me drop the word propinquity out there, or talk about trigger events, or any other Paulisms that I've been embracing for the last almost 10 years of the damn podcast. So this one we've talked about before, but we've only talked about it in the context of prospecting. We've never talked about it in the context of getting all these other things done. You know, the things that are keeping you from prospecting, the things that are keeping you from doing things that help you bring in business or things that help you wow and or retain an account or certainly grow an account. And what I'm talking about today is a different way to embrace the Pomodoro technique. The Pomodoro technique, quick overview, but then I promise you I'm going to show you different applications for it and even variations of it that we've never talked about before. So the way the Pomodoro technique works is that you set a timer for 25 minutes. Then you dig into whatever the task is that you want to do. And yes, we've talked about it as prospecting. So in the context of prospecting, you would set a timer for 25 minutes and all you would do is prospect for that next 25 minutes. If we're talking about getting a bunch of administrative things done, you're going to set a timer for 25 minutes and all you're going to do are those administrative tasks. Now, there's more to it. You do, like I said, you do nothing else. We're using the power of focus here, just so you know. But you're not going to allow any interruptions during that task. Again, whether it's administrative, it's you're doing something to get some new business, whether you're researching some things or doing something creative or sending out snail mail, whatever it is. You're not allowing any interruptions. You are not to take any inbound calls when you are using the Pomodoro technique. Now, again, and I talked about this last week and multiple times throughout this podcast, that a lot of people get really shitty with me right about now. They think, oh, well, that's disrespectful to your clients. That's idiotic when it comes to turning off new business. What if a new client is calling you? Well, again, remember what I said. It's 25 minutes. And I think the problem with a lot of us, what we've become with this instant thing that we have going on with cell phones and with smartphones and all that, where everything is immediate. When we want something, we want it now. When I want to find out the name of something, boom, I check my phone. When I'm reaching out to somebody, bang, it happens in an instant. And we expect almost that, you know, we have to do everything in the moment. What I'm proposing here is not disrespectful to clients or potential clients. What I'm saying is have them wait 25 whole minutes until you finish what you're doing. Because if you continue living the way most of us have lived, what's going to happen is you're going to be living in a world, especially on the business side of it, let alone your personal life, but in a world where you're always reacting to things and never getting anything done. You're going to try to get something done. The phone will ring. You'll take the damn call. You're trying to get something done. An email will come in. You stop, and then you address that. You lose time. You're trying to get something done. A pop-up comes over your screen. You're wasting more time. And I also believe, I sincerely believe, that when we're doing things that we don't like to do, like cold calling, or I don't know about you, but I hate administrative things. I really do. I'm a salesperson. We usually despise administrative things. And even to the point, I mean, I wish that we were all together in a room so I can get a show of hands here. But, I mean, to the point, I'm sure there's somebody else like me out there that even hates to do their damn expense report. That's money that's been owed to me. I'm not kidding you. When I had the job that I had before I launched Castain Training Systems, there was a time where, well, actually, there wasn't a time. I mean, it was all the time. At any given time, I had a minimum of about $3,000 or $4,000 coming to me. But there was one time where it was up there. It had to be hovering 10 grand. And my wife was saying, hey, don't you have some expense checks coming? And yeah, don't tell her, but I think I might have lied. Seriously, I mean, I know people never lie. Especially in sales, right? But yeah, I might have lied and said, yeah, I got to check on that. I don't know what the heck is going on with damn accounting department. I didn't put it in. I didn't forget. I just didn't feel like doing it because I got to fill out a freaking Excel spreadsheet, leave a blood and urine specimen. But, or maybe that's why it took me so long, because I wasn't supposed to do the blood and urine specimen. I don't know. But I was doing it. But anyway, it just, I really believe that when we're dealing with something that we don't want to deal with, we welcome the interruptions. Seriously, let me put that one out there for you. I really believe that we're actually welcoming those interruptions. Why? Because it gives us a break from something we don't want to be doing. And it becomes an avoidance activity. And we want to kind of avoid the avoidance types of activities. But so again, the way it works, set a time for 25 minutes. You focus only on the task at hand. And then again, no inbound calls, no emails, no pop-ups, no checking your voicemail. And seriously, some of you may say, well, this is going to be hard to do. And I believe you that it might be, but you're going to have to work through it. That includes coworkers. You might want to put up a little sign. And we talked about it again in the context of prospecting, putting up a sign, cold calls in progress, or calling session from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. today. Please come back after, 2:05 or whatever. Put it out there so people know. Putting word out to everyone in your department. If you are a sales manager, a lot of sales reps are going to hate me for doing this. This is why I'm a big advocate of having designated time that has to be uninterrupted, where you have call blocks that are scheduled where everybody's on the phone. So this way, during that time, people aren't interrupting people and coming over and asking about TPS reports and things like that. So that's what you're going to do. But let me tell you why this whole technique works. Why does it work? First of all, you're embracing the power of focus. You're not allowing interruptions. And because you're not allowing interruptions, guess what? You're getting more done. Let's stop there for a minute. Many times, I mean, haven't you had this happen where you're just scratching your head and saying, I don't know where the time's going. I don't know how I couldn't, like, why can't I get this damn thing done? Well, when you add up the amount of interruptions that the average person has. Now, I've been talking about this forever, and I talked about it last week on the podcast. But there's two things you need to know. Number one, the average person loses 2.1 hours a day. That's over 25% of your workday to interruptions. Wendy Cole wrote an article in Time Magazine a while ago, probably 2002, she wrote the article. And I believe it's gotten worse since 2002, because since 2002, we've really gotten more into social media. Our phones now have really become permanently embedded in the palm of our hands, certainly more than back in 2002. And she said that the average person is interrupted about 7 times an hour, 56 times a day. I believe it's worse than that now. Like I said, 17 years later, hasn't gotten better. People are more distracted than ever. Look around you. They have phones in their hand at all time, including when they're having lunch and visiting with people and having a cup of coffee and that kind of thing. So when you add up all those little interruptions and then how long it takes you to get back into things, you're really not dedicating the amount of time that you believe you are. And then if you want to add in a little Dr. Phil moment, add in there that you might be welcoming the interruptions and therefore allowing it to take a little longer than it should, because the longer you're doing that, the less time you got to go and do the tedious task that you don't want to be doing. So think about that. But the other thing too is that you're less likely to procrastinate when you use the Pomodoro technique. Why? Because you can now rationalize it and say, you know what, we're really only talking about 25 minutes here. But the other way, I believe procrastination is easy. When you start looking at things and saying, oh man, I got to do 4 hours of this. I got to do a full day of this. I got to do a full week of this. I think that you're more likely to want to avoid that. I know I am. So that's one of the things too that you can keep in mind. The other thing is that I really believe that while you're embracing the Pomodoro technique, the other way that you get more things done is because you're working the way that a true sales professional, a true even business owner, entrepreneurial type, even I almost said type A personality, but no, I don't want to put that into the whole discussion, but a true salesperson or business owner, a leader would act. And what happens is that, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm very competitive. And when you only have 25 minutes to do something, and again, I want to be very clear about something. We're not saying that you do something once for 25 minutes. You're taking it in bite-sized pieces. It may require three of those 25-minute Pomodoros. It might be three a day for the next 5 days or whatever. It could be it takes 20 of those 25-minute Pomodoros. Heck, it could take weeks, if not a month, of those 25-minute Pomodoros. And some of those Pomodoros are just going to be ongoing scheduled items that you're going to have. But it can, but when you only have 25 minutes each Pomodoro or each session, you tend to get very competitive and driven, because especially on the prospecting end, because there you are and you're saying, all right, listen, I've got 15 more minutes left. I've already spent 10 minutes on this. I haven't set an appointment yet, and I'll be damned if I'm not going to get an appointment at the end of this 25 minutes, because I don't have another 25 minutes I can put in until Wednesday. So I need to make something happen. I need to up the game here. I need to, you know, pick up the pace a little bit more. Maybe spend a little time, little less time researching between calls and do just a very quick, at a glance, just overview type of research, and then pick up the call, the phone and call. But you become a little more competitive. And last but not least, and there's more reasons I can give you for this, I really believe that there's a power in doing a task, then stepping back, and then coming back to it when you're fresh. Now, I also want to tell you that the opposite can happen too, where it can become a little bit counterproductive. And what I mean by that is that sometimes with certain tasks, you might just start to get into your groove in 25 minutes. And then here we are saying, okay, we pull the plug. I still think you should do 25-minute increments, but nobody's saying that you can't do two back-to-back Pomodoros with a 5-minute break in between. That might be something for you to think about. And that also works out very, very well, because during the 5-minute break, then you check voicemails. You get back to people. You send an email back to them or whatever. That kind of thing. So let's now talk about what are some things other than prospecting that we can use this Pomodoro technique for. Now, I have a handful of these things I'm going to share with you today, but I want to get you thinking. Your mission while I'm going through these ideas is to see if, well, first of all, these would make sense for you, and perhaps you could be using the Pomodoro technique for these types of tasks, if you will. But also, I want you to think of some of your own as well. So we're not going to just have me supply you with ideas. I'm teaching you how to fish today. So I want you, as your mission at the end of today, of this week's podcast, is to think about, okay, how else can I use this? And what other ways and what other types of tasks would be ideal for the Pomodoro technique? So let's get down to it. One of the things you could do is, how about those whale accounts that you want to go after, but you know it's going to take a lot more time than the everyday accounts that you usually target? And when I say that, there might be some extra research that's involved, some different type of prep, maybe some different types of creative things that you're going to be using in those accounts. So instead of looking at it and putting it off because you don't have the ideal set of circumstances. We actually talked about that as a form of procrastination. And I referred to that as idealisms, where we need these ideal set of circumstances. You know what? In order for me to start going after those whale accounts that I've identified, I'm really going to need a good solid week that I could just dedicate to that. Well, when the hell do you have a good solid week to dedicate it. It just doesn't happen. So we put it off, we put it off, we put it off. And I know you know what I'm talking about, because I guarantee you there's other things in your business where you embraced idealisms. Well, you know what? To do this right, to get up to date with that CRM, I really need like 3 solid days to do this. Or, you know, ideally, next time there's a holiday, I'm going to do it. Yeah, great. Keep putting it off, right? That was a little bout of sarcasm there. Another example, and hold on a minute. Sorry, folks. I was going to choke to death here, and I decided not to edit that out, nor am I going to edit out the sound of me taking a drink. And it's up to you to guess what the hell I was just drinking. And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to tell you. But anyway, the other thing too, how about LinkedIn? A lot of you avoid LinkedIn because you don't know how to use LinkedIn. What if you were to learn how to use LinkedIn by either, like pulling up, doing a Google search on it. I have a course on it, and it's actually a webinar that I have. And if you actually go to my website at yoursalesplaybook.com and you just, in the search engine box there, just put in how to generate more leads via LinkedIn. There's something there. But that particular course, that's 90 plus minutes. So you might be looking at that saying, I don't have 90 minutes. That's way too long, Casting. No, it isn't. Especially if you break it down into bite-sized pieces. 25 minutes, that's going to, before you know it, you're done. So that's something that you do. But what about LinkedIn if you've already bought into LinkedIn and you know how to use it, but you just never have the time for it? What if you set a time for 25 minutes? You'd be surprised what you can get done, especially when it's uninterrupted. Let me tell you something. This is what I believe, and you could feel free to send me an email and say, Castain, you are completely insane, man. This makes no sense what you were saying. But I really believe 25 minutes of focused effort is better than an hour and a half of interrupted effort where you're just constantly getting interrupted. You have all these pop-ups. You have coworkers asking for the damn TPS reports. You got all this shit going on. You will get more done in that 25 minutes than an hour and a half. So don't ever underestimate the power of a focused effort. The other thing you could do on LinkedIn to that end is you could, if you already buy into it, you could just set the timer for 25 minutes and just dig into the stuff you usually do on LinkedIn. Actually, one of the really cool things about setting a timer for 25 minutes when you go on LinkedIn is you won't get sucked into that vortex. Seriously, man, this you could easily just lose hours and hours and hours. And again, the point I want to keep coming back to is I believe in many ways, subconsciously, we embrace that. We love that. Why? Because it's keeping us from having to get our ass kicked on the phone or having to embrace that tedious task that we don't feel like doing or doing the damn expense report that we were kidding around about before. But you'd be amazed how we avoid things. But that's something that you can do. You know, another thing that I like to do, and I've timed it so it takes me no more than 25 minutes, but I talk to people in my network several times a week. I make sure that is a 25-minute task, no more, no less. I take about 5 minutes to research them before we're on the phone call. And then the actual call that we have, yes, I've had ones that have gone 30 minutes. I try to keep it 15 minutes. And right there, if you do the math, 5 minutes of research, 15 minutes for the call, and then about 5 minutes in follow-up, if that, because sometimes I'll send a handwritten thank you, something like that. I mean, you know, we're talking about maybe it's an email, but grand total, 20, 25 minutes. But again, this is how you chip away at things. But now speaking of chip away at things, let's start getting into some more sophisticated uses of the Pomodoro tactic. How about working on a lengthy proposal or RFP? Again, you might be saying, oh man, I got to do this damn, you know, RFP all for the next 2 weeks or whatever. Now, if you're on that type of timeline or whatever, maybe there's no way around it. But maybe a better way for you to do is to do it with the Pomodoro technique. I'm not saying you do 25 minutes a day. It's going to take you, I mean, I don't know what, like, God knows how many more times, 32 times more or whatever the heck that comes out to. But Maybe what you do is you do a few back-to-back Pomodoros. You move on to something else. You take care of the other parts of your business that need a little love. Then you get back to it again. You're coming back to it refreshed because you haven't been so immersed in it that at that point in time, if somebody said, spell the word the, you would struggle, right? Haven't we had that where it's just like you have like this brain melt, just brain freeze, brain melt, whatever the hell you want to call it. It's a bad moment. So that's one of the things that you could do. But you could also do something like we had mentioned, the lengthy proposal, RFP. How about preparing for a demo? That's something that you could do. If you are in a sales leadership position, how about if you're putting together some training for your sales reps, but you never have the time to step back and get it done? What if you did it in 25-minute bite-sized pieces? Speaking of training, how about product knowledge? Every once in a while, that product knowledge isn't just for the newbies. When you start with a company, especially if you guys have just a complete portfolio of products and services, maybe you don't know all of them as well as you should. Maybe there's some new things that have come in. And like many of us in sales, sometimes we're so busy embracing what we're comfortable with that we forget about things that we're not comfortable with. So instead of avoiding it, how about embracing it 25 minutes at a time? How about modeling a successful sales rep in your company? And this one, you could modify the Pomodoro. You could do this one 15 minutes at a time. What if the way that you modeled them is you identified some people in your organization who are getting the results that you want to have, and you reach out to them, say, hey, you know, I've noticed you've been ranked consistently in the top 10 or top 5, top 20, or you've been consistently the top of the leaderboard. I was wondering if I could pick your brain for a quick 15-minute phone call. So that's where I'm going to modify the Pomodoro technique, because a lot of achievers are not going to want to give you 25 minutes. 15 minutes might be more manageable. Heck, even if you could do it 10 minutes. But then prep for that call with some really, really direct questions so that you can get the most out of that time. But you see, that's how you're going to get better as a sales rep. Again, many sales reps, you put it off because you think there's going to be this point in time where you're going to have all the time in the world to train. Well, my question to you is, how's that working for you? Seriously, when have you really eventually moved on to find time? Training is the convenient thing that we blow off. We put it on the back burner because, well, you know, I got to get out there and make it happen. But sometimes people don't realize that, hey, you know, maybe I need to bite the bullet a little here. Maybe, you know, 25 minutes here and there, once or twice a day, a few times a week or whatever, be a hell of a lot more than you might be doing right now. And then you learn new skills that then you could bring out there, try almost like it's your little laboratory, and you could get better at something. But here's something that I do with training and the Pomodoro technique. I use it when I need to learn something that's very, very tedious. So for example, I don't want to get into what I'm learning or anything else, because then it's going to sound like I'm attacking an author or whatever, but I'm going through a particular audiobook on a particular subject that I haven't studied in a long time, formally studied. I formally have practiced it for decades. I've been teaching it for decades, but sometimes you got to get back to the sales 101 stuff. You got to get back to the basics. And this is stuff that went, and by the way, I practice what I preach. I have a firm rule when it comes to quote unquote sales 101 or basic types of things. When you're listening to something or reading something that's instructional, educational, and you find yourself saying, duh, or that's basic, or that's sales 101, or that's common knowledge, you need to do the sales 101 reality check. Seriously, you do. And what that is you say to yourself, all right, wait a minute. Is this sales 101 and I'm doing it, or do I need to shut up and take my medicine and get back to it? Now, I flunked the sales 101 test on this particular thing. And I said to myself, geez, man, this is just really, it's like watching freaking paint dry. And I know this stuff. The guy had some really good points, but I knew it. And I said to myself, well, wait a minute. You know, Knowing isn't doing. Are you doing these things? Are you remembering to teach some of these things in your courses and when you're working with sales leadership? And the answer is no. So as a grown-up and a big boy, I said, okay, dude, you got to take your medicine here, and you're going to this. But that doesn't mean I got to sit there and listen to this guy go on for 8 hours about this shit. So I use the Pomodoro technique. And by the way, it's an 8-hour audio book. And I've been going 25 minutes at a time. And I actually blended it in with something that I actually enjoy doing, which is smoking a cigar in my backyard. So after hours, it's kind of a daily thing for me. I enjoy sitting outside. It's my thinking time. Just kind of think about the day, think about things that I need to think about. It's a great creative time for me because I'm relaxed. Or sometimes I just sit out there and just, you know, watch the kid. Like, I feel like that old man now. Just watch the kids riding the bicycles up and down the road, and neighbors are out walking the dogs and all that kind of stuff, or whatever. I'm just kind of chilling out outside with a nice cigar. And so I decided to blend it in with that. So 25 minutes here, 25 minutes there. Let me tell you how this adds up. Last week, around this time, I was saying, oh my God, how much more of this? And I'm looking, this is 8 hours. Oh my goodness. And right now, I've gotten that 8 hours down to about, I think we're down to about an hour and a half more that I have to go. Which, again, you do the math, 25 minutes for those Pomodoros. I got basically a little more, a little more than 3 Pomodoros left on this. And I am done. The saying that I always talk about when it comes to the Pomodoro technique, and it's not my saying, but I really believe it to be true. How do you eat an elephant? If you were inclined to eat an elephant, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. This is how you're going to eat your elephants. Let me throw a few more at you. Sometimes there are things that you need to get done. Like, well, let me give you another example. Writing thank you notes. We all know we're supposed to be doing that. But when the hell do you have the time? Set a Pomodoro for it. Boom. Eat that freaking elephant. Especially if you got a bunch of them stacked up that you got to do. Do it. 25 minutes. Done. How about things snail mail in general? You got to get every week. I know some sales reps that they make it a point to send out a certain amount of FedEx packages. Why? To get somebody's attention. Because it's a little different than sending an email to a person who is sending and receiving a ton of emails each and every day. So something like that. Here's another thing that you could do. If you sell a product that pretty much everyone can use, like there's a lot of people listen to this that sell copiers and printing and people who insurance, business services, you guys get the idea. But you could pretty much walk down any industrial block and you could, if you were inclined, go door to door because everybody needs what you sell. If you have something like that, one of the things you could do, we call it drive-bys, which I know you guys know I'm from New York. A drive-by in New York is a completely different thing. But I'm not talking about the thing where you point the gun like sideways or whatever. I'm talking about something different here. Drive-bys, it's when you hit the record app on your phone, because I want you to be very safe when you're driving. You hit the record app. You're driving down through maybe a business park type of thing, or an area where there's just a lot of businesses, and you're going to keep that record button down, and what you're going to do is just sort of jot down the names of the businesses that you pass. That's why we call it a drive-by. So for example, here I am, I'm driving down Main Street, and I see PC Industries. So I'm going to say something like PC Industries, Main Street, Hop Hog, New York. Then I drive past another one that looks like a good candidate for what I'm selling. ABC Industries, 789 Maple Street in Melville. Jot that down. But see, what you can do is there are so many businesses that are right in your backyard that you might be forgetting about. Again, this part of the podcast, this isn't for you. If you sell something that's very, very specialized, I'm talking now to the people that sell something that pretty much everybody is their potential client. Everybody is a suspect, so to speak. So one of the things that a lot of us forget about is the backyard. So why don't you go around your backyard 25 minutes at a time and do that drive-by idea, right? You'd be surprised how many of them you could get done in 25 minutes. You know, so those are some examples of what I'm talking about. So just to kind of recap, we talked about this tactic that we've talked about many times called the Pomodoro technique. To do it, you set the timer for 25 minutes and you focus only on the task at hand. And that means that you don't take an inbound call. You don't check your emails. If you have the pop-up set up for your emails, I would just turn them the hell off. But if the thing pops up, you're going to have to be disciplined. You don't go check it. Let me see what's going on, because God forbid somebody's got to wait 25 effing minutes here. You don't go checking your voicemail. Interruptions from employees, sorry, not good. Interruptions from the boss, also not good. So that doesn't give you a license to be a dick. But what it does do, it should give you, I don't know, a little incentive to maybe have, I call it a proactive conversation, where when it's, you don't want to have these conversations as they're happening, because what happens is somebody's interrupting you from making calls or interrupting you from learning something, whatever. You might get a little shitty with them because there you are, you're trying to get it done. Now they might say, oh, you're going to get shitty with me. Screw me. No, F you. Because now they're going to respond in kind because they don't like your toot. They don't like your toot at all. The next thing you know, man, you're throwing elbows in the damn sales floor. Not good. So my suggestion would be, don't really deal with it at that time. But what you want to do is reapproach the person when that behavior is not happening, because they are not attached to the behavior. And just simply go to them and just say, hey, just a quick thing. And what I like to do when I have to have these little proactive conversations is I put it on me, like I'm the bad guy, like I'm the dick here. So this way, nobody is like really getting mad. Like, in other words, as opposed to me putting them on the defensive for always interrupting me and I can't get anything done because they won't shut up, right? That's not going to get me a good response. So instead, I'll say to people when it comes to prospecting, I'll say something like, hey, Mary, and just make sure it's the person's name is Mary if you approach Mary, because if you go to Tom, call Tom Mary, he might knock your jaw loose. So what you do is you go to Mary and say, hey, Mary, hey, quick thing. I just want to let you know. I want to apologize if I ever seem rude when I have the phone to my ear. I actually have a few designated times of day when I'm making my outbound calls. So if you ever approach the desk and I'm just kind of real short with you, or you see that I'm making calls, let me continue those. And I promise you, you know, I'll get back to you. In fact, if you send me an email after that, Paul, when you have a few minutes, I know that it's urgent. And then I need to go see you when I'm done with that call block. You see, that is a nice proactive way of doing it. And it works well with the boss as well. So I want you to think about that. So that's how this whole thing works. But we said we can use it in ways that's outside of prospecting. Definitely use it for prospecting. But remember, for proposals, RFPs, for learning things, embracing things that are very, very tedious. How about updating that CRM because you're waiting for something or whatever? It could be you need to do just a ton of administrative tasks. Maybe you need to clean out something. And it's going to be 25 minutes at a time. I use it in my personal life as well because the things I want to learn. I love learning. And I am, as many of you know, I've been a musician now forever. And there's new things that I want to learn, but I just don't have the time that I used to have to dedicate to continual learning. I practice a lot. I keep a guitar right next to my desk, right outside the case, so I can grab it between calls just to kind of clear my head a little bit and then get back into my outbound calls. But I'm not continuing learning the way I used to. So what I did was I put in the Pomodoro technique. And I said, you know what I'm going to do? There's certain things. I identified some of the things I want to learn. And I spend 25 minutes learning them. When the time is up, I move on to the next task. But don't ever, 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 ever underestimate the power of focus and the power of all these little dedicated, concentrated, 25-minute sessions, if you will, and their ability to add up, because this is how you're going to be able to get more things done. So let's stop looking at it through the lens of an ideal set of circumstances where you can dedicate the 3 hours to it. You can dedicate the 8 hours to it. You could dedicate, you know, the hour and a half to it. And let's start looking at it as, you know what? Actually, with my schedule, let me take it in 25-minute bite-sized pieces. So before we go, I just want to give you a quick reminder that we have a special prospecting download. We just announced it, and sadly, it'll be going away in a few weeks. We only have to the end of August before we pull the plug on the download. And what's really cool about it is that we combined three very important things when it comes to prospecting: the phone, email, and LinkedIn. And one of the messages that I've been trying to get out to people in terms of this prospecting download is that we really need to bring prospecting into the 21st century. A lot of the tactics that people have been taught are really antiquated, and they're really over the top manipulative. They are very extremely cliched. And you have to realize that these decision makers are hearing it, the same stuff over and over and over again. And how do I know this? Not just from the people I'm training, folks, but because I'm a business owner too. And I get a lot of calls and a lot of emails, and they all sound the same. So that really puts us in bad shape. But also, it's not just about the phone. That's one message you should know by now from me, that I really believe in that. The cold call isn't dead. I just believe it's lonely and in need of compassion from additional forms of outreach. That doesn't mean when I say we're going to talk about email and LinkedIn as a replacement for the phone. No, we're talking about three things in this download: the phone, email, and LinkedIn. Now, I have over 100 tips, actionable tips, by the way, that we're going to be sharing. I have over 35 prospecting templates, 15 LinkedIn templates. There are bonus PDFs. I even have a really cool personal branding workbook in there that's going to help you get remembered. Because I don't care if you say, Paul, you know, I'm all about the phone, sorry, buddy. Or somebody else says to me, nah, I'm all about email, I get great results. You may get best results on LinkedIn. It doesn't matter. Or maybe do all three, which is what we're preaching in this download. The thing of it is that if you can do all of these things in a way that's more memorable than your competitors, you're going to get better results. So if you'd like to learn more about the program, and I hope you do, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/bundle. yoursalesplaybook.com/bundle. If you happen to be a sales manager or a business owner who's listening to this podcast and you'd like to get your entire team into this program, what you can do is you can enroll the entire team for a fixed rate of $1,200. I don't care if you have 500 sales reps, it's $1,200. I don't care if you have 50 sales reps, it's going to be $1,200. And what's really cool about enrolling your entire team is that we can also customize some of the assignments for your team. Your team's going to be handing in assignments and getting feedback from me. And there's also a bonus 30-minute team call where we're going to all talk about the content that was rolled out in the download. We're going to talk about how it relates and how you guys can use it specifically on your team. If you'd like to get information on that part of the program, I want you to email me directly, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. And guess what? With that, I'm Paul from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.